Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today on the podcast, I want to talk about your afternoon routine and your evening routine. And I realized as I reflected on this, I don't usually hear people talk about an afternoon routine. I hear about an evening routine, which to me is like the last 30 minutes before you go to bed, which who has energy at that point? Nobody. Like if it's anything besides brushing your teeth and taking your contacts out, who's going to do that much work at night? Like I'm a morning person. I can't do a big evening routine. What I realized was I needed to shift that evening routine to my after school, afternoon, end of workday routine. So I want to talk to you about my after school, end of day, workday routine. And then I'll also talk to you about the evening routine that I have. Now, just this last year, I typically in the past have been ending my workday at around 2 o'clock, picking up the kids, and then it would be a mix of kids' activities, house activities from that point forward. But I realized last year, as my kids are getting older, that I could leave at 2:15, go pick up my kids, come back at 3:15, and I could still work until Greg got home at 5:22. Greg is a very routine guy. He leaves work at 5. He gets home at 5:22. So I like to try to have my day end somewhere between 5 and 5:30 so I can spend my evening time with Greg. But that gives me a lot of time from 3:15 to 5:30. That's my first afternoon routine. And then 5:30 to 7:30 is a second afternoon routine. These all kind of run together. So my official workday ends at 2 o'clock. If at 2 o'clock I'm done working for the day, I usually say that's a good day. And if I have extra activities to do until 5, those are bonus. So once the kids are done with school, or if the kids don't have school that day, any work that needs to get done, I look at as bonus work. And I'm really starting as the kids get older to do work, you know, if they're off school, or they have a snow day, or it's summer, I'm still doing work during the day, and the kids are realizing that I'm working. And that is a huge transition for me to realize that I'm not a stay-at-home mom. I actually work for a living. So I have started working more from that 3:15 to 5:30 break and adding more work into that time. One of the things you'll notice as you listen to my routines is that I work too much. Yes. I probably work 60 plus hours a week on Organized 365. However, I justify it because it is flexible work. Like, I can work around my family schedule. I can take my kids anywhere they need to be at any time. But I also tend to work late into the night, as you will find out. When I get home with the kids at 3:15, sometimes I take a nap. And this year, my mother-in-law has been picking up the kids from school one day a week last year, which gave me one day that I could work from 8 to 5, which was glorious. And this year, she is doing that twice a week. And I've also hired someone to pick up the kids twice a week. So I actually, this year, will be working until 5 o'clock most days. And as soon as Joey starts driving, again, I will not have to pick up the kids. So I'll be working most days until 5 o'clock. So I'm really extending my work hours during the day. After 3:15, my focus is where do the kids need to be? How do I get them there? And do they need any help with their homework? Usually they do not. I will do a few work-related tasks if time allows, but I'm not doing any of my highly concentrated content work like creating a new planner or something like that. At the end of my workday, this is the most important thing, and this happens, I would say 3 out of 5 days a week, and I'm really, really committed to having this happen every single day because it is the game changer. Whether I'm ending my workday at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whenever I'm ending my workday, I have to stop 20 minutes in advance, and this is what I do. I pick up everything on my desk and I put it away. I look at my calendar for the next day and find out what is due then, where do I need to be, are there any errands, what's going on the next day. I write out that schedule for the next day on a little index card or a legal pad of paper, whatever I need, however long that list is. I look at my to-do list and my goals for the week, and I pick out what tasks have to get done the next day, absolutely have to get done. write those on that list, and I put them in order. So let's say I have a podcast interview at 10 o'clock and I have a coaching call at 1 o'clock and I have to leave to pick up the kids at 2, and then I have to take the kids somewhere from 4 to 6 the next night. I write all of that on a piece of paper and I leave space above and below if there are any spaces in there. I go, okay, my first thing I have to do tomorrow is a podcast interview at 10. So from 8 to 10, I am going to do, and I write down what tasks need to be done. Then from 11 to 1, I have a break also. That's a 2-hour break. I'm going to write a blog post and maybe do a higher content area thing then. And so I put my to-dos in order on my list. So when I wake up the next morning, I have a sheet of paper or an index card, and all I have to do is start at the top of the list and go to the bottom of the list, and I have had a good day. Again, I cannot remember where I heard this, but someone said that what'll happen is you'll do that the day before, and you'll get up and you'll get ready to go through your day, and you'll be like, I don't know if I want to write that blog post, or I don't know if I want to do that thing now. Obviously, you could change it if you want to. But what this podcaster or book, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who said it, said was, they said, you should trust the schedule that you made the day before when you were in your rational mind. Like when you made that schedule for yourself, you looked at all the possibilities. You looked at the entire to-do list and you pulled out the things that you needed to do. You looked at your whole calendar, what was going on that day and then the next couple of days, and figured out what needed to be done that day in order for the rest of the day to work. You cleaned up your space and you created this plan for yourself, and that you should follow the plan that you made in your rational mind that was looking at the whole picture versus your in the thought moment of, I'd rather go to Starbucks. So I have found this to work really, really well for me, that I don't have so much mental resistance to my to-do list. I noodle that out, you know, between 2 and 5 p.m., what it is I'm going to do the next day. And then the next day I get up and I just check off things on the checklist. I don't feel like writing the post. Great. I'm going to go check Facebook. I give myself 5 to 10 minutes to do that. And I go, well, better get that post done, because now you have 10 minutes less than you had before. So you better get writing. And I just get it done. Making this list has been such a game changer in my productivity, in my focus, in getting things done ahead of time, that this is my number one goal this fall, is to make sure that I do this every single day before the end of my workday. Okay, so I have cleaned up my workspace. I'm currently looking at my workspace that is crazy messy right now. And then I have made my to-do list in order with my calendar in mind for the next day. It should be about 5:30 at this point, and my goal is to be downstairs with Greg at 5:30. I would say one day a week, I just text him and say, hey, I'm going to work a little bit longer upstairs. He doesn't necessarily like that, so I really need to stop doing that. By 5:30, I like to be downstairs with Greg, and from 5:30 to 7:30 on my calendar, I just block out. That's just husband family time. I don't cook. Greg does the cooking, but I'm doing the laundry. I'm going through the mail. I'm doing any household related tasks while we just have our side by side time, getting ready for dinner. We eat dinner together. And then we usually will just either stand in the kitchen or talk, or if it's nice, I love to sit outside with Hunter in the backyard, and we'll just talk for 30 minutes to an hour and a half. Just chat about our day and what's going on. And I don't know. Sometimes we just check our phones together, but it's a nice time for us to connect. A couple of things that I want to add into this time of my day, this before 7:30 p.m. time, is we are not walking Hunter enough. So Hunter, I told you, he's a Shiba Inu, which is like a cat-like dog. They're very stubborn and they want to do what they want to do. So he doesn't like to go on walks. He makes you chase him and he's not well disciplined. So we stopped walking him because he doesn't really walk. He just sniffs. He goes on a really long sniff. And so we just stopped it. Well, at one point this summer, we're sitting in the driveway with him and he's like standing there and he's barking. And I was like, do you want to go for a walk? And he was like running around in circles with his tail wagging. I was like, oh, so I took him on a walk. He was so happy. So he does need to be walked, but he's not like a golden retriever that needs 2 walks a day or anything like that. So one of my goals is also to walk Hunter 3 to 4 times a week. Also, Greg will call me, or I will call Greg sometime in the afternoon, and we'll have this discussion about what's for dinner. Neither of us like cooking anymore. Neither of us are good at it. And part of it is our teenagers don't like to eat anything we make. It does not matter what we make. They do not want to eat what we make ever. So I want to add into this afternoon routine that he and I will decide what is going to be made for dinner the next day. So at 7:30, I want to know what is going to be made for dinner the next day, who's making it, etc. Another thing I want to add into my afternoon routine is to actually do the dinner dishes before I'm done at 7:30. I have been leaving this until the morning. That's worked fine, but now I want to have the whole kitchen cleaned up before I go upstairs at 7:30. And this is the time where I make sure that I put anything that I need for tomorrow from that little checklist that I made in my office into the car. So if I'm going to do a return, the return is in the car. If I'm going to go to Goodwill, all the Goodwill is in the car. If we're going to the dry cleaner, all the dry cleaning is in the car. That is my afternoon routine from about 3:30 to 7:30, closing down my business day, connecting with my husband, feeding our family, cleaning up the house. That is my afternoon routine. And I have never really heard anybody talk about that afternoon routine before, or having one that worked for me. So I think that afternoon routine is the one that really is the key to a lot of my productivity and success. Now, my evening hours from 7:30 until about 10 or 11, there's not a lot that happens during this time. We have teenagers who love to be in their bedrooms. I love to be in my bedroom. And Greg likes to have some alone time after work to just kind of decompress with his dog. So at 7:30, the kids and I are in our rooms on our beds. I don't know. Like, that's just what we do. I typically work from 7:30 to 9. What happens is I come upstairs into my bedroom, which is also where my office is, and I say, I'm just going to check my email. And I spend quite a bit of time checking email, checking Facebook, responding to everyone, clicking that I like everything, and I enjoy it. So it is work time, but I really enjoy it. I really enjoy responding to emails, checking out Facebook, or this is also the time when I'll work on custom photo albums. So I have people mail me photos and I make albums for them. This is also the time when I will work on custom photo albums, which I also do in my bedroom. Around 9 o'clock, I will start my bath and I'll pick out my clothes for the next day. So I told you in last week's podcast that I pick out my clothes the night before for what I'm wearing. And also this summer, I recorded a podcast about how I still don't have anything to wear. And what I realized was, and I'm going to dive deeper into this, this capsule wardrobe idea this fall. What I found was when I purged my closet down to things that I just loved and I could wear and I enjoyed, I didn't necessarily have outfits. And I've created kind of a uniform for myself. Luckily, the color hot pink and navy are in, and I love hot pink and navy. So those are the two colors that I've built my whole wardrobe around. And 90% of the time, I wear jeans. Pretty much 100% of the time, I wear jeans. Unless I'm dressed up, I'm wearing jeans. And I have all different kind of jeans and different kind of tops that go with my jeans. And I have, and I get dressed for the day. Like, I enjoy not just putting on a t-shirt and shorts, but looking cute and preppy. I don't look formal, but I don't look like I'm doing yard work either. Like, I'm like a preppy person. So I have a preppy little outfit that I usually wear. I'll look at the weather, see what the weather is. I always have a sweater ready for the morning. And I will pick out my clothes the night before while I'm running my bath. Then from 9 to 10 or 9:30 to 10:30, Greg and I will watch a TV show before we go to bed. And I really enjoy watching TV. Often when I'm doing that email and Facebook, I'll have some TV shows on. I love to binge through TV shows. Okay, so let's just rabbit trail on this. You should not feel guilty if you like TV. I love TV. And so much so that when TiVo came out, which was the very first thing that could eliminate commercials, it came out, I think, in 1999. About that time. That's when I got mine. When I bought TiVo, I could have paid $150 and had lifetime recording access. Oh, I'm kicking myself for not doing that one now. But I will, and right now I have a little index card next to my bed of all of the shows that I need to put on TiVo to record for this season. I'm going to go grab it. You guys want to know what I watch on TV? Okay, this is what I watch on TV. We watch The Americans. On December 8th, The Queen on Netflix will have season 2. I'm putting it on my calendar, just so you know. That's how much I love TV. I watch Scandal. Not the greatest show, but I like it. This Is Us. Madam Secretary is my favoriteest show of all time. I've watched every episode 3 times. And yesterday, I just watched the pilot again for like the 8th time. I love that show. Blue Bloods. We love to watch Blue Bloods together. Grey's Anatomy, Quantico. And Greg and I are currently watching Homeland right now in the summer. That's the TV show that we're watching together. And I just started watching Designated Survivor this weekend. By the time you listen to this podcast, I'll be done with that one. I also loved the show 24, Alias. I'm trying to think what other ones. Private Practice. I loved that one. The problem is I can't find any more shows to binge. And I love to watch TV. So usually the TV will be on like from 8 till 10 or 11. And then I like to go to bed at 11 or 10 or 11. Well, 11 is the latest that we go to bed. Now, I work in the evening and I feel guilty about it because it's the evening. I shouldn't be working. And here's what I realize. I love what I do. Like, number one, I love what I do. Number two, I don't want to be doing email and Facebook during my work time when Greg's at work and the kids are at school and I could be doing something like writing a new book. Like I need to use that for real work time. So I look at this work time that I do in the bedroom at night as like, you know, like my fun connecting with you work time. And so it's kind of like I'm hanging out with my friends when I do that Facebook and that emailing that I do at night. I rarely like reply to an editor at night. I don't do that kind of an email at night usually. I love my bath. I love my TV. And I'm giving myself permission not to do so much work at night, but also not to feel guilty about it if I do it and I love it. So those are my afternoon and my evening routines. You can tell by listening to my morning, afternoon, and evening routines that I am a morning person because you can see how I stack so much more in my morning and you can see how there's very, very little I do after 7:30 at night. My goal is that if I've had a big day and it's 7:30 and I do nothing after 7:30 at night, that's okay. Now, if you are an evening person, and I don't think this is talked about nearly enough. A lot of people are evening people and they get all this grief about not having these amazingly morning routines. I would think that your schedule would probably be flip-flopped from mine. That your mornings would be like, I get up, I get the kids to school, I watch some TV, you know, I take a shower, and my day really doesn't start until 11. Like if I was an evening person, that's probably what my morning would be like. And then my evening would be like, and everybody's in the room at 7:30 at night, and that is when I then write my best content and do this, that, and the other thing, and I go to bed between 12 and 1. So I don't think there is a perfect morning, afternoon, or evening routine. But I do think, like, just like I say that there are three seasons to the school year, I do think there are these three chunks to your day. How you start your morning, what you do as you transition from your work back to your family in that afternoon time frame, the dinnerish time frame, and then the evening time frame. And each of those transitions, if you can write yourself a little script, make a checklist, purposefully decide what each of those times are for and what things need to get checked off the box in those time frames, you will be more satisfied and more fulfilled at the end of the day. I go to bed sometimes and I get to my evening at 7:30. I do nothing for the rest of the day. And I look back on what I've done during the day and I marvel at how much I'm able to accomplish in a day. One of the reasons I'm able to accomplish so much in a day is because it's not just me working on my work tasks. I have Pat and Melissa and the housekeeper and the laundry, and other people are helping me achieve my goals. So I'm able to multiply the amount that I can get done in one day. I want you to change your perspective at the end of the day from looking at what you didn't get done to looking at what you did get done. And a lot of times when we think about our work, like for me, it's my own business, so I can be very self-fulfilled in that. But when you look at your work and you work for someone else or you are busy raising your children all day and you cannot see the results of that at the end of the day, you tend to measure how much you got done in terms of loads of laundry, piles of dishes, meals made. Now, that's not satisfying. Nobody got excited because they got 5 loads of laundry done in a day. I want you to look at what you got done in your work. What did you get done in your work today? If you are raising little kids and you got through the day and you sat outside and you played sidewalk chalk with them and then they made an all yellow snack. So you had pineapples and you had, what else is yellow? Macaroni and cheese is yellow. And you had a yellow lunch and they asked you to read another book and you sat down and you read the extra book with them. You are accomplished. You are raising humans, holy cow, that's amazing. Or you took them to the park today and they found one of those rainbow stones that are out there. These painted stones. Have you heard of this? People are putting painted stones all over the place. I don't have a little kid, so I don't see them. But you find these stones and then you came home and you painted stones. That is a cool thing. Or you work at a corporation and your job was to work on this project and you got 10% of that project done today. Or you closed a big quote, or you were able to solve a big customer service nightmare problem, or you came up with a great solution that somebody hadn't thought of, or you just smiled at somebody. When was the last time you went into the office and you just smiled at people? Freaked them out, didn't it? You're just like, oh yeah, Lisa said I'm supposed to smile at you. You smile at them. I love doing this. Like when the kids are in the car, we're in the car a lot, and they're teenagers. And I'm really starting to realize that, I'll tell you that story in a minute. They're just smiling at people. The impact that you have in your day is not what you got checked off your to-do list. It's how you're impacting the people around you. Okay, so my kids are teenagers. For some reason this year, I think it's because Joey's a senior. I'm like, wow, he's a senior. He's going to go to a community college. He will live at home, most likely. And so it's not like he's going away to college next year, but I am starting to feel that, wow, he's getting bigger. He's starting to drive. And I know as soon as he has that license and when we're able to get him his own car, I'm just not going to see that boy very much. I'm just not. And he's a boy. So my time with him as his mom, close, you know, this close relationship that we have, the connecting and the meaningful infrastructure of that is ending. So the other night, he goes to his Bible study and he comes home. I do not like to go out at night. And he wants to go to Walmart, which is like 5 seconds from here. And he wants to drive because he needs nighttime driving hours. I do not want to go, but I'm still dressed. I hadn't gotten in my bath yet. So I was like, all right. So we go to Walmart. We go in Walmart. He wants to buy rope so he could show Dad and I what he had learned at his Bible study. And I'm like, you know, how do you deny that kid that? So we get rope. So while we're there, and part of why I said yes was because I wanted to buy a toaster. So it's a funny joke between my bookkeeper and I, but I bought a toaster and I gave it to her the next day at the bank when we opened up a new bank account. I was like, hey, you get a toaster when you open up your bank account. So I got a toaster. And while we were there, we're at Walmart and they have these big stuffed bear heads, you know, like it's like a mask, a costume, but they're huge. They're like, I don't know, 2 feet in circumference, this big fluffy bear head. So Joey's like, I'm getting a bear head. I'm like, I am not buying a bear head. He's like, I have money. I'm like, yeah, money I gave you. So he gets the bear head. So we're walking through Walmart. Picture it. I'm with a 17 and a half year old boy walking through Walmart on a school night, 10 o'clock at night. He's got a bear head and rope and I have a toaster. And he goes, Mom, we're going to check out. What are people going to think about a bear head, a toaster, and some rope? I said, hey, it is my job to prepare you for your future and I am preparing you for college. This is not the last time you're going to be at Walmart at 10 o'clock at night with a weird amount of stuff. And he just bust out laughing. And I can't tell you how many times he said in last week, Mom, a bear head, rope, and a toaster. And we got in the car and he's driving home and I'm just thinking about it. And I said, Joey, you're going to remember the bear head, the rope, and the toaster night with your mom. And I thought to myself, this is one of the last nights that I'll be able to do this, you know? And of all the work that I accomplished that day, all the things I got done that day, the most meaningful thing I did that day was go to Walmart and buy a toaster with my teenager who was buying rope and a bear head. This is what it's about, you guys. We are making our lives more productive. We are organizing. We are prioritizing. We are getting it all done. So that you can have a moment with your teenager in Walmart in the middle of the night that you will remember for the rest of your lives. Everything else I did in 2017, I may not remember in the future. But I can tell you this, 40 years from now, Joey and I are going to be laughing over a toaster and rope and a bear head at Walmart at 10 o'clock at night. And that is what is important. You're getting organized. You're getting productive. So you have time for your family, not for anything else. It's not for anything else but that. So if that is your goal, to have time for yourself, to have time for your family, to have time to live life, we weren't put on earth just to go to work and pay bills. We were put on earth to live out our passion, to live out our purpose, and to be productive, passionate, contributing members of society. That's who you're raising, that's who you are, and that's why I want you to be more productive in your routines. Have a great week.